Servus Dar und hallo hier bei A Story Beyond Sports, dem Podcast von Alpina. Und heute mit einer echt besonderen Folge. Nicht nur, weil der Andi und ich die Ehre hatten, mit Geoff Gallowitsch zu sprechen, sondern auch, weil das live passiert ist, nämlich beim Bike Festival Riva vor ein paar Tagen. War eine ziemlich coole Sache, klar, auch weil so jemand wie Geoff einfach viele richtig coole Stories im Gepäck hat. Er ist nicht nur einer der besten und bekanntesten Mountainbiker der Welt, sondern auch Mitgestalter der Szene, wie wir sie heute kennen. Und er ist Crankworx, vor allem aber Rampage-Legende. Und das passt natürlich ganz hervorragend zu Riva. Da saß er nämlich mit, Achtung, Produktbezug, weil es sich anbietet, der niegelnagelneuen Legend auf der Nase bei uns am Alpina-Stand und hat uns unter anderem verraten, welche Story hinter so manchem vergessenen Bild steckt, das der Andi in seinem Archiv gefunden hat. Also, wird auf jeden Fall ein wilder Ritt, möchte ich sagen, bevor der losgeht. Aber noch ein Hinweis, das Gespräch mit Galli haben wir natürlich auf Englisch durchgezogen. Und ich muss darauf hinweisen, dass die Tücken des Live-Podcastings nicht ganz ausgeblieben sind. Ich habe zwar versucht, alles so gut wie möglich zu fixen, aber hier und da sind ein paar Tonpfeifer zu hören, vor allem am Anfang. Bevor du dich gleich also irgendwie erschrecken solltest, sei einfach gesagt, keine Sorge, die sind dann zwischendurch auch ganz weg. Aber gut, der Live-Charakter ist damit maximal gegeben, auch wenn man nicht in Riva dabei war. Also starten wir rein in diese Episode von A Story Beyond Sports mit Mountainbike-Legend Geoff Gallowitsch live vom Bike Festival Riva 2024.
Welcome to another episode of the Alpina Podcast A Story Beyond Sports. Lena, we have
Andy,
a special guest.
Yes, we have, but first I just wanted to ask you, did you enjoy Riva so far, the bike festival over here?
Definitely. I always appreciate to come to Riva because it's a special festival. In my past, I got to know lots of festivals, but this is, I think, one of the nicest. And I have good rememberships to this place, so I like it.
And what's the best moment during this whole festival experience?
I think in my mind, this is the place where I did my last contest as a dirt jump rider and I could win it. So this is like a special thing still in my head.
Okay. So we are so happy to have you here over, Geoff Gallowitsch. And yeah, nice to have you. Nice to see you here in Riva. So did you enjoy the festival so far the last days already?
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm stoked to be here. And yeah, this is my first time to Riva da Garda, and I'm having an amazing time. It was beautiful. It was great people. It's been super fun. The weather hasn't been that great until today, but now I am extremely hot and getting my tan on.
Okay. So first question to you guys, because you know each other, I think, quite a long time. What was your first meeting?
I think I'll take this one, Andy.
Okay.
I believe the first time we met was in Saalbach, and you were the only rider wearing sunglasses, had those mirrored Oakleys on, and I was like, damn, who's this dude with the hot chick riding? And he's just cruising in all casual, he's throwing three webs, flip webs, and I was just like, I don't know who this homie is, but he's crushing it. And I think we like actually met at Nine Nights and became boys there, but yeah, that was my first memory of you. I was just like, this dude's really good. He's really cool. I'm pretty scared to talk to him.
I'm still.
How long is it ago? Like Saalbach?
I don't know. It was
2008, maybe.
Dude, yeah, it's been some time. It was obviously before Nine Nights. And I can't remember what year that began either because I'm getting old and my memory's falling out of my head. But yeah, it must have been around that time. It was before 2010.
Definitely. And then when I got to know you better was definitely Nine Nights. Then the Nights time was intense, I think.
Yeah, we had a really good time. There were a lot of beverages consumed. There was a lot of biking going on. And I remember you and I had an epic battle trying to get the world record on that left-hand hip.
True. Livigno.
Yeah, the boys were going off. I remember literally dragging myself off the hill because I was so tired going up and sessioning that thing with you. They're like, oh, we have a shuttle coming. I was like, no, we walk. We are men.
We have to go for it.
Totally. It was just boys being boys. And we were trying to break the record together. And I think we successfully broke the original record And then I believe you beat me on that hip, too. And I wasn't even mad. It was so much fun.
Yeah, it was just fun. I didn't care who went higher, but it was just so much motivation going in the session. It was a really special session.
Yeah, we were both going to the bar after anyway, so...
So boys being boys, nothing has changed since then.
Well, now we're men being men.
I'm so sorry. Oh, big mistake. Okay. So maybe I'm here for the serious questions. In what way did your relationships towards biking change during the last years? Or since back then when you first met Andy, what happened since then? Nothing changed or everything?
Like our love of biking, you mean?
Yeah, and what the sports mean to you and how it affects your everyday life, kind of.
Well, that's a really good question. I think back then it was just we were excited to have the opportunity to be there. And we were just growing and kind of developing our identities at that point. But now, I'd say more or less, like, we're fairly firmly established in it. And it's truly part of our identities as mountain bikers now. And I wouldn't change anything. Like, I've been doing this for 20 years full time. And I'd say I've met my best friends and created the coolest relationships through this sport. So... it's truly in our DNA now. Like, there's no getting away from this. Like, you could go work at a gas station, and every now and then someone's going to be like, did you ride bikes one time? So, I don't know. How do you feel about that?
I think a bit different. Yeah, you know?
Great.
I had this accident in 2015 where I broke both feet.
Right.
And this was really changing for me. It was a point in the career where everything comes down. Like, say, it felt like nothing because all you had was gone. And that's a point where you start to think about everything. And after that, yeah, life changed, you know. I got kids, I got a wife. This more normal life started.
You've reproduced. You spread the name.
Yeah, definitely.
We haven't gotten there yet. We're sticking to practice for now.
That's good to hear. Good luck, buddy.
Thank you.
No, but I think it changed, and at the moment where I am now, mountain biking is still in my DNA, like you said. But I also got another job with my company, Trail Immense. We're building pump tracks, trails, everything. So it's more this normal work thing, I think. But in the end, we're still, also me, I always get remembered who I am, and that's still the guy from years ago.
I remember your injury like it was yesterday, just getting that news. And I was actually in Germany when it happened, and they went way out of the way to come visit you at the hospital. And that was wild. That was a shocker. That was one of the earliest memories of like a good friend getting seriously injured. And definitely rattled me, but it's so great to see that you've actually... grown up and created a real life and made planted roots, and you're a real man, Andy. I love you.
But you're a real man now as well. I think you also had challenges, I think, with injuries and stuff like that during the last years.
Yeah, last year was crazy. I got taken in an avalanche while I was skiing, and I turned my femur into 17 pieces. And
happened in skiing?
Yeah, it happened when I was skiing.
So we just got a little briefing about you before, and there was just written down, I'm a professional mountain biker who has a skiing problem. So this is the story behind this, isn't it?
I have a skiing and a golf problem.
Skiing and golf problem, okay.
What happened in golfing?
About this story beyond sports.
Yeah, still a sport, some people say.
Yeah, story beyond sports.
But yeah, it was crazy. I got taken out an avalanche. I exploded my femur against a tree, and then I actually had to drag my own body out of there and make contact with my group, and I got rescued by helicopters 3 hours later, and it couldn't get in there because the clouds and the fog. So it was crazy, man. It was actually life or death, and I bet you can't guess which one happened.
Luckily.
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely a mixture of luck and thinking and whatnot and good reaction time from my crew. And, yeah, just holding it together in a strenuous situation. Yeah, we all know how wild injuries are and how it affects you mentally and physically and the people around you as well. And people don't really talk about that, but your family and friends, it affects everybody. And the way they react affects your recovery as well, like how they support you and how they come around and who comes out of the woodwork when things go down. That was a weird rhyme, but that was kind of cool.
But in the end, this was like the first really serious one happened to you, or did it happen earlier as well?
Definitely not the first serious one, but the most serious.
The most serious.
Overall. How about you? Like when you did your feet?
Injuries are part of the sport, of every sport. But in the end, I think it's a big difference if the injury can heal completely or not.
Yeah. I absolutely agree with that.
And this is a point where it gets more serious, I think.
Yeah.
And the next point is if it's a, like you in the avalanche, like if it's a happening or an accident where you are near to lose your life, you know?
Absolutely.
I think this is also something which really is a different thing than not being in this situation.
Yeah. It's not so much a laughing matter anymore. Yeah. It's crazy. Like how your mindset is and coming back from injury, not many people talk about the actual work ethic it takes to bounce back from a life-altering accident. And I think that needs to be talked about more because everybody talks about injuries and what's happening after, but nobody talks about the process from the actual incident to making a recovery. And it's just, it's so much more than people actually talk about or express. And it's like, how where your head's at, your dedication to get back on the bike, back on the skis, back on whatever you do, and back with that golf club, you know? But I think it's great when people actually talk about the process and the negativity that goes through your head, because everybody's going to experience these lows, and nobody talks about that. They just talk about the highs and feeling good and being an athlete, but there's some seriously dark points to it. And when you're injured and like, you don't know if you're coming back, you don't know if your career is done or you're going to be able to come back. And I think people do need to talk about that more because it is something that we all experience and it takes a village to come back more or less. Like you have your surgeons, your doctors, your physio, and then your work ethic mixed on top of that. You need to have that positive energy and that motivation to get back to what you want to do.
So what did motivate you during this process? Was it, and what, were you, have you always been sure to make it, to even get back to be sportive again? Or
oh, yeah.
Yeah? So this was your inner...
Yeah, I was doused up on morphine at the hospital, and the surgeon was like, you will not ride a bike for at least a year. And I was like, 6 months? And he's like, no. And I was like, yeah? And we had a really good time, my surgeon and I.
I guess he liked you.
He did a pretty good job. I got a nice big rod all the way down my femur. And yeah, pretty wild considering how shattered it was. Put Humpty Dumpty back together again.
So what was your emotional motivation? Have there been some people who are on your side and just...
Yeah, I honestly, like, I... In my head, I just knew I was coming back. There wasn't a plan B.
Okay.
It was just like, I am going to do whatever I can, get back to this. And the day I got out of the hospital, I kicked painkillers and started seeing my physio just to start breaking down scar tissue and working on the swelling and everything. And that's... It's like if you've been through a number of injuries, you know that there's a process to get back to it. Whereas if you've broken your first bone, you kind of think you're just going to get casted up, get that cut off, and you're going to be back to 100%. But that is 100% not the case.
110.
Yeah, 169, my friend. But it's wild. You need to have that motivation because some people do get scared. And it's this can happen again. Like, it's not a one and done when you go through serious injury. And I think you just get better at bouncing back the more you hurt yourself. It's like, often, I'm trying to word this properly, but often the dumbest people have the most success because they don't know what failure is and they won't accept it.
That's true. And I think also that, like, the mindset of a athlete, you also need this mindset for your rehab. And I think it's in the end the same to fight back. And then for me, the cool thing was that I had a really clear target. It was completely defined. And then being an athlete, it's often like, well, maybe a little bit here and a little bit there. And maybe if you're a contest rider, you have one target, you want to win. But if you're a contest, an athlete like we are, not the contest guys, we're like more free and have projects and have here a project and there a project. And this was one project. And that was all in this project. And that was for me in the end, that bad the situation was, it was cool.
Yeah, it's an experience to be at rock bottom and to have a goal to get back to your health. And when you don't have quit, when you don't have a plan B, you put everything into it because there's only one result, and it's getting back to 100% or 169%. Sorry, but yeah, like I'm so stoked to see you walk around. Like, you look like you're walking perfect. Like, sure, it's been some years now, but damn, you look good, Andy.
But my back is hurting.
That's not the injury, no, my friend. That's just age.
Now there are new problems, kind of.
My back's a little sore, too, from trade showing. You ever had a 10-minute conversation? My back is killing me.
Okay, but having you guys sitting here, like two legends of the sport, I know you would maybe never describe yourself as this yourself, but I can't do this. So, just taking a look at the vibe of this mountain bike scene at the moment, what's your impression being here like last days and enjoying the vibe, enjoying the people, saying hi? And what does this do to you or mean to you being here?
Do you want to take that one?
You're the guest.
Ooh, baby. For me, it's pretty special to be back in Europe. I haven't been here since the Great Plague hit. And it's just so nice to catch up with friends, Andy in particular. Great to see Xavier. Great to see everybody. Great to meet you. And all my colleagues at Orbea, Evoc, like all my sponsors here and all my friends that I haven't seen potentially since before the Great Plague. So like, it's just so nice to be back, see all these familiar faces, catch up. Like, people have gotten families now. People have grown up, new sponsors. Things have changed. It's just so nice to see everybody smiling in the sun, enjoying Lake Garda, and it's just especially back in Italy. Like, I love this country. The food's amazing. The people are great. The drivers are nuts. And yeah, I love pasta and pizza.
But did anything change? Are they the same people doing the sports since back then?
Oh, plenty has changed. Plenty has changed. Everybody has a story.
Yes.
And everybody has their own story. And it's just so great to see everybody. Like, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Like, our relationship has not changed. I'm so stoked to just catch up and hear how your life has evolved and what's new and what's happening. Because, yeah, it's been a big break since I've seen everybody. It's just, it's special. Like, that's the only way I can really put it, because everybody has a unique scenario, and everybody's smiling, everybody's happy to be in the sunshine right now, and it just makes me so happy to catch up with people, because it has been so long. Like, I basically have two lives. Like, I have North America and Europe, and you cross the Atlantic, and it's just all your friends, so you see only a couple of times a year, and that separation that we had through the pandemic and everything, like, it's nuts, so... I'm just happy the world's back up and running. We're back at bike festivals. The sun is shining and the people are riding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me it's different again because I'm here really often for a holiday. From my place it's just 4 hours to go to this place. And we're here really often with the family, camping and having a good time with the kids. And so festival is kind of mixed because mm-hmm. I really also love it here when it's not that packed. I think as a guy from Bavaria, it's like this because you also want to do your holiday here. But the festival is also nice. As you said, Gali, we meet a lot of people. It's different. It's I think it's more for having fun and being here alone without the family.
But now he's... Okay.
Very true. Yeah. Like Italy's a special country. My wife and I did our honeymoon here. We traveled north to south, did the whole shebang, and I always have a great time when I'm in this country. There's just amazing people, and more often than not, the sun is out. But the other day we got fresh dusting of snow on the mountain up there. It's a little bit chilly and wet, but it's back to good temperatures right now.
Talking about referring good stories, we just brought some pictures with us. Andy just had in his archive, I guess. So, and his
I have some.
You found some interesting, kind of interesting, kind of worth to tell, I guess, pictures. But I'm gonna start like quite normal. So, as we are in the podcast, you know. We are missing the picture. Pictures. There are no pictures, but I can just describe what we see here. It's a kind of a bromance picture, you two guys. I guess. So maybe you tell the story about this, but you are just looking.
I believe we got up nice and early to go to the top of the mountain in Livigno, I believe there, mm-hmm. and we had Marcus Grieber shooting. And it was just a lovely little morning, you know? Just a couple guys hanging out, watching the sunrise.
Yeah, but you look quite romantic, I guess.
That was...
it's kind of a
Marcus told
moment.
Us. Marcus told us what we should do.
He did.
But okay. He did just that. He told us more, but we didn't want to do it.
Well, we won't go into too much detail of the photo, but it's just... couple guys enjoying some scenery.
okay.
No, but in the end, I have to tell that the cool thing was we were at the nights, we had a really hustle to organize everything and get every photo shooting done. And Geoff was, I think, the most motivated guy. He was up for everything. And that was just amazing. And we had so much fun and doing, I don't know, the other guys were like, we have to get up at 6 in the morning. No, I'm out of this.
Yes.
Because I want to go for the party. And we were like really disciplined, I think.
Yeah, I think we were the up the latest and up the earliest.
Okay.
We definitely shut down the bar and then got up before the sun did. It was, we were so, so much healthier back then.
Well. No. Okay, but this was the normal picture. Kind of normal picture. But there was another picture. And it shows you in a quite cozy Austrian hotel, I guess, hotel room. You and a bear. This is no mistake to tell. You are behind this bear.
I'm just making sure he isn't cold.
Yeah, I can't show it in the podcast. Maybe we will share this picture, but maybe I show you like this. It's a little bit crazy, but I would really love to know the story behind this wonderful, beautiful.
We were just going for shock factor. We were having fun. There was a stuffed, or it was a fake.
Bear, no, really?
No AI in that time. Sorry.
There's no AI.
Fake.
That's right. The fake bear was in the lobby, and we decided to steal it late at night.
Okay.
Before.
You stole it.
Yeah, we borrowed it. And, we put some effort into making a nice little photo with the bear there. He's even blindfolded, if I remember correctly.
But it was a photo contest, wasn't it?
It was a photo contest. You had to have some lifestyle photos in there as well, and we just decided to get
it. It was kind of a lifestyle photo.
There was riding. Yeah, it is a lifestyle. It's not...
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a unique one, but we decided to add like a little Canadian flair to it by having the bear, and then I don't know what the other part of the flair is. But
you were really creative.
Yeah, I just love bears, okay. You can say. Yeah.
Creativity, I guess.
It was a big thing to be creative.
Okay, back then.
Yeah. Is sure happy that photo isn't on the internet.
So we are in the podcast since half an hour, and I just maybe we could play a little game with you. So it's entweder oder Fragen in German.
What does that translate to?
I can't. I don't really know what the translation of this. Say A or B. A or B.
A or B.
A or B question.
Yeah. So you nailed it.
Option A or option B.
Okay.
So Andy and I, we will just share the questions with you. And of course, you can answer as short as possible. But you can, of course, give some behind information and more stories about your decision if it's option A or option B.
All right. The first one is amazing.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, okay. I guess the first one is super. Okay, Andy, you want to start?
Okay. Really excited what your answer will be. Bike or ski?
Bike. 100%. Come on.
Okay, ski or golf? So now it's getting, yeah.
Now we're getting serious, guys. I don't know, skiing, there's nothing like it. If you got good snow, sun shining, not much beats skiing. I take skiing over golf.
Okay.
Free ride or freestyle?
Free ride, man. It's in my blood.
You always have been more the free rider.
Yeah, I got no style.
Oh, well, you are wearing the legend, so you got style, I guess. So. Contest or content?
Content.
Content?
Yeah.
Not content.
I don't know, I just... I was never really a contest person. Like, I was there because I was there, and it was great. I always had fun, and whatever happened. But, you know, if you're out getting shots and having fun, it's just you're sessioning, and it's way more better in my books.
Mm-hmm. Is it kind of a secret or giveaway you would maybe give younger riders or younger bikers on their way? Like, just enjoy what you're doing?
Honestly, that is exactly what I tell people. It's like, if you're truly passionate about it and you're giving it your all, things will happen for you the way they're supposed to. And you see just so many people trying to get the fame and acknowledgement before they've really developed the skill set.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like I do get asked often, it's just like, how do I become a pro? And it's like, work your butt off. Put everything you have into it. Because there's 500 other people in line that want to be a professional athlete behind you. And they're all giving it their all. Like, you need to commit to it. You need to work your butt off. Work on your skill set. Like, the social media and that stuff will come later. Like, you need to stick to your trade and dedicate to it, because this is what we love. If you don't truly love it, it's obvious.
Okay. Great answer.
Thank you. Danke.
So it's your turn.
Okay, next one. To judge or to be judged?
I feel like you're going to get judged either way. I don't know. I feel like I only do judging to make sure we get the right results for events. I don't truly enjoy it. I feel like I've just seen so many judged events where you disagree with the result, and you can either complain or you can do something about it. And I chose to do something about it. So I'd rather just be judged, because I don't really care. Think what you want to think. I'm going to do what I'm going to do.
That's a good one.
Right. So would you just jump or watch first?
Leap before looking, you mean?
Yeah.
I've done both. I feel like when I was younger, I would definitely guinea pig a lot of features and go first and whatnot. But now I've learned to sit back and let someone else take the reins first and learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that just comes with age. Generally, when you're younger, you want to get it out of the way first. And sometimes it's easier just to step up rather than sitting back with anticipation. Just go out there, grab the bull by the horns and get it done. But now I like to watch a little more. I'm not afraid to sit back and relax.
Okay.
Okay. Hotel or tent?
That's a tough one. I thoroughly do enjoy both. It is nice to be able to have a shower and not stink when you're at a trade show, because then you're really going to get judged. I do love camping. Nothing beats being in solidarity out in a very beautiful place and just being in nature and taking it in. Like BC, we're a big camping community, and I think there's a time and place for both. If you have to be presentable, you should probably be presentable. If you're on your own time, stick to the tent. Maybe don't bring a tent, just a sleeping bag and chill under the stars.
Lonely Island or Party Beach?
Lonely Island.
Really?
No party.
You don't like party?
No. If I'm out, I think
that's your second lie.
Getting called out saying I'm lying about partying. How many nights have you seen me out past midnight? Not one this week. Well, I do like beer, but you can also have beer before midnight.
That's right.
Home or Wanderlust?
I like home. Home's pretty nice. I'm not there very often. I'm on the road about half the year, so it's actually a treat for me to be there. I like my wife, so being home is pretty cool. We've been together for like 19 years, and I think I've been away for half of that. So we've been together for 9.5 years.
You're 19 years with your wife.
Yeah, we took a little break for 2 years in our mid-20s, and then we got back together, and it was just game on.
Whew, you started really early.
Yeah, we met in like 8th grade, and then we started hanging out. We started dating in 12th, and it's more or less been game on. Well, no, you know, like we met each other in 8th.
Okay.
I worded that poorly. We began dating in 12th, and it's been game on since then. Me just hanging out. Come on, Andy.
Okay,
you dirty dog.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You nasty.
I'm here alone.
Okay, never again poutine. Poutine, is it the right word? Or never again pancakes? Did you know this?
I don't care for pancakes. I love poutine.
Okay.
Take the pancakes and run.
Oh, no. Oh, I love pancakes.
Is it pancake? Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I love pancakes.
Fish or meat?
Meat. Straight up. No contention.
Rain or sun?
Sun. It's easier. You don't need a rain
Everything
jacket.
Is easier in the sun.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just... Like, I sometimes like rain at home because you have the trails to yourself. Mm-hmm. And, like, if you get out, like, one of my best friends who's not with us anymore said, rainy days in the mountains are the best because you have the trails to yourself. And I genuinely do agree with her. I love it. And it's dedication to be out there in terrible weather. But you're just more in touch with the environment, the sounds of the rain and the trees, the puddles, everything. I truly do love it.
Nice.
And I have great Gore-Tex outerwear.
Okay, summer or winter?
Summer. Longer days. More time for stuff.
Next one.
Would you rather have 1 million followers on YouTube or 1 million euros on your bank account?
Well, I mean, if you had 1 million followers on YouTube, you probably got $2 million in your bank account. So... We call Fabian Wimba. Tell us about it. I don't know. I'd probably go with YouTube.
Next question is staying free or arrive?
Staying free?
Or arrive.
Like a final destination?
Yeah.
Oh, stay free. So. Stay out there. Why ever settle? I feel like once you get comfortable, you get old. Let's stay on your feet.
Shit.
Keep moving.
I'm old.
No, you're not. You're beautiful, Andy.
But this, to be honest, it was the first questions you two guys were talking before, chatting before. And then the second question was, oh, Andy, how old are you now? Yeah, I'm 36. And yeah, and how old are you? And like, this is the top. These are the topics you're talking about now. Like,
yeah, no, it's pretty cool. Like, we have known each other for nearly half our lives, I'd say, and it's been pretty cool. It's been an honor to meet and hang out with you. And
just a number. Age
yeah,
is just a
that,
number.
That's it. Like as long as
but
you're
these are the
young,
topics right now, I guess.
Yeah, it's real life. And like Andy has two beautiful children and a lovely wife right now, and I'm married and I'm sticking to the batting cages, no kids on my side. And it's cool. Like we are roughly the same age and just seeing the different paths that we've taken. It's really fascinating catching up with your friends and seeing how life has evolved and how you're doing. And
I love you, man.
Next question.
Yeah, there are some questions, but I think A or B is done at the moment. But
that's done, yes.
B.
Always B. Okay, but we just promised the lovely people who just stayed here before and listened to all the stuff, all the stories before, that we have a lottery for three, I guess, like five. I think Xaver just...
It's four.
Because you are wearing one.
Yeah. I can donate these.
Yeah, okay. So, there's an option to win this really cool new... You said you are a model right now, kind of. Yeah. Just win these wonderful glasses over here.
Yeah, and these are the legends.
It is the
not,
legend.
Not us, the glasses.
Yeah. No, it's the legend. Yeah, it is. So, Andy... What should our guests do? Maybe they should drop a question to Jeff, I guess.
Yes. Each guest should drop a good question to
Jeff. A good question.
Was ist your favorite color?
No, a good question. Kind of. So,
who has a question?
You, sir with the green bike. What's a good question? Don't look at me.
Okay, so maybe we should present the glasses. So this is a kind of a motivation for the people.
We have four, possibly five pairs of glasses to give away here. Does anybody have a good question for Andy and or myself? Put up your hand. Young man.
Okay, come here. Wait. This is my job. Okay. So what's your name before?
I am Marcello from Italy. How... cool are you? No, how cool are hardcore hardtail bikes for you?
I think hardtail bikes are super rad. Like, Andy and I both grew up dirt jumping, and we're there, I'd say second generation dirt jumpers kind of thing. Like, we were after the John Cowans and the Timo Pritzels. But I love riding on hardtail. I love pump tracks, I love dirt jumps, riding street. Like, I think they're super cool. And how about yourself?
Definitely, but I think, do you mean riding downhill and stuff with hardtails?
Yeah, I mean the enduro hardtails.
Oh.
Like,
real hardtails.
riding BMX tracks on
hardtails. Yeah, I think they're fun. I think trail hardtails are fun. They definitely have a place in mountain biking. But personally, like, we have such good suspension bikes at Orbea. I'd rather use it. But I do like that question. Give this young man some sunnies. You got him. Oh, you almost got two pairs.
Just to make sure we are really doing this. So,
sneaky little devil, you.
Be careful.
So just wear it with style as this friendly boy over there. So.
Thanks for the question, Marcello.
So it's working.
Yeah,
it's
don't
really
lose
working.
Them on the bumpy trails with your hardtail.
Okay, who's next? Who's the next one who wants to get this legend? You got a question? Who does want to wear this? Oh, this is really looking great. Okay.
You just have to ask a question.
One question. Ah, oh, come on. One question and you get these glasses over here. Do you have a question maybe for Jeff over there? Okay, not. Well, it was his chance. Okay.
That young man was on a mission.
You got a question?
Where's the best bike park in the United States?
I haven't ridden too many bike parks in the U.S., but I can tell you Whistler in British Columbia, Canada, is hands down the sickest bike park on Earth. So if you make your way a little bit further north from the U.S. into British Columbia, go to Whistler. We got several incredible bike parks in British Columbia, but that is more or less where the bike park began, and it's evolved to just a whole other level now, so I highly recommend visiting it there.
But it worked. Hey, okay. Got two glasses left.
Yeah, we got two more questions.
Okay, it's working. Here's something.
What was your first feeling when you take part of the Rampage?
My first feeling was definitely worth covering any children's ears here because it's a very inappropriate grouping of words. And it's crazy. A lot of exposure out there in the desert. You're hitting massive jumps, you're big drops, and there are cliff edges and exposure that you can go off of. Like, I was pooping my pants, to be completely honest. It was scary. But you get comfortable with the terrain, and as the results over the years showed, I definitely did a lot better once you got comfortable and used to the dirt and making your line and figuring it out. It's a bit of a formula, but that is the one event of the year that you truly do put it all on the line in free ride. And very few people really perform there because the entire environment is so unique and difficult to really wrangle. So, yeah, if that's what you're looking for, it literally scared the poop out of me. Thank you. That was a great question.
I just want to show it as a motivation for anybody out there to ask the last question because there's one left. So, really stylish. So, this is yours.
Thank you.
All right. I think we have. Oh, there we go. Another question. Right off the bat. Love to see it.
Okay. A question first.
What is your very, very big motivation for do this all day in your life, every time, every day, and continues for these things?
That's a great question. Personally, as soon as I witnessed mountain biking, the first video that my brother's friends showed me when I was 12 years old, I just thought it was the coolest sport ever. And I've always wanted to stay fit and do something unique, and the fact that we get to travel the world and ride our bikes and explore new terrain, meet incredible people, and more or less live the dream is motivation enough. Like, I love cycling, I love traveling the world, seeing new places, and I don't ever want to stop. I love this more than anything.
Great question, by the way.
Do you have a mental coach or something, or just for yourself?
No, I've always been relatively positive, and I know they have helped people in the past, and I see a lot of use for it. You see it in different sports around the world that a lot of people do use mental coaches or sports psychologists and things like that, and they weren't really known when we were really competing. So if we were competing now, I could definitely see it being a factor and something worthwhile using. But back in the day, it was just motivation and 100% drive to stay where you wanted to be. And obviously, the next biggest trick was just staying healthy and pushing yourself, progressing as a biker and trying to win events. And you wanted to be the best. So you just did everything you could. You crashed. You got good at crashing. And that helps you become a better biker. Thank you.
Okay, no glasses left. One thing we didn't really talk about was your way to become getting into the sport, I guess. There's a story as well that you've been working at McDonald's, I guess.
Yeah.
to earn the money for your first bike.
That's true. I was introduced to mountain biking through my older brother's friends, and ironically, he did not ride mountain bikes. He was focused on baseball. And I saw this video. It was called North Shore Extreme 2. It's an original mountain bike film from my hometown in Vancouver, British Columbia. And as soon as I saw this, I knew that I didn't want to be a professional snowboarder. That snow stuff was so cold, and like our family didn't really have money for good outerwear or anything, so just wasn't for me. And as soon as I saw mountain biking, I got a paper route the next day. And after a couple months, I realized that having a paper route definitely was not making me enough money quickly enough to buy a bike. So my parents forged my application at McDonald's so I could begin working at 12 years old. You have to be 13 years to work in Canada. And there I am, 12 years old, prepubescent little guy. I think I was the summer between 7th and 8th grade. And, yeah, started working at McDonald's, could barely see over the counter. Would you like fries with that?
I would have bought it, yes.
And I had no clue how the machine worked. They put me up front, and I just plug in orders. They're completely wrong. I'd be like, no, that's what you ordered. And, yeah, I worked at McDonald's for the better part of a year. Before I lied to my boss and said we were moving to another city.
And did you lie to your boss?
Yeah, I just quit.
Okay, I guess. Would you allow your son, when he's like 12 years old, to work at McDonald's to earn the money for his first bike?
Well, I think when he's 12, it's a big step that he wants to earn money. So go for it.
Yeah, no, and I think that's what my parents saw as well. It's like, if you want to be self-sufficient, we're not going to pay for your bike. So it's no better way to just jump into the working force and learn about currency and the value of money. And it shows dedication. I do think it's super important. Like, I would walk around the neighborhood and just offer to mow people's lawns, shovel the snow off their driveway, walk their dogs, do gardening for them, wash their car, like anything I could to make a couple bucks to pay for a bike repair or anything like that. And I think it shows a lot of tenacity and drive. And this world's not going to give you anything for free. You need to work hard and hustle. So I think it's super important to show your dedication to your craft and really take the initiative, because no one's going to do it for you.
That's right. And you were dropping the words. Great. You were just talking about mountain bike content, and you've just launched a film. It's called No Summits in Sight, I guess.
That's this right.
Is, yes.
Yeah, we did it.
And this is quite a really, really cool story, I guess. And I know that Andy has just launched really many great films before as well. And I think maybe this is a question for you both. Did mountain biking offering you the chance to tell new stories about your visions or about your kind of lifestyle? What role does producing a mountain bike film play for you personally?
I think it's just super cool creating a unique story, like whether it be your personal story, maybe overcoming something or doing a task that you thought wasn't possible. And the video that you're referencing, No Summits in Nepal, or No Summits in Sight, was a pretty incredible mission I did with French rider Tito Tomasi. And we did, I think it was like a 20-day trip we did in 12. And we were doing 75, 80 kilometers a day at 15,000 feet. And it was nuts. Like, the air is just so thin up there. 5,000 meters for everybody. And it was crazy. We got up to, I think, 7,500 meters in Nepal. And, like, there's still so much snow on the ground. The wind is blowing. It's -5, -10 Celsius. Feels like -15 with the wind chill. And you're not wearing that much. Like, you have your all your supplies for this 12-day trip in one bag, and you're literally doing 80 kilometer days. And it was so cool. At I don't know how many times I thought I couldn't take another step at that elevation. You're just so tired, you're out of water, you still have 20 kilometers to go, and you just persevere and really just push through it. And I think covering that story, the video is really great, but it doesn't even show half the struggle. Like, we were really grinding out there. And I'm so grateful for that opportunity, because I would not do that shit on my own.
That's right.
Yeah, I think the cool thing is to create something and then realize it. It's something really cool for everybody. It doesn't have to be a video project. It's like everything in our life, what we do. It's really cool. If you have an idea and you realize it, it's always a good feeling. And in the end, when you're athlete or sponsor or you get partners and sponsors for a project and you can realize it, it's a success. And this is I think the cool opportunity what we have, that we can take our sport and our what's really important for us and make something out of it. It's great.
Yeah, and to add to that, hearing people talk about it later on, or like referencing the project you did and how it may have motivated them to go to something they wouldn't have done
it's
before.
Inspiration for so many people out there.
Exactly, and it's such a cool byproduct of the actual piece you make, and I find it fascinating. Really, you're in there and you're just in the moment, but to hear months later, be motivated or inspired and so excited about it, it's really cool.
Hey, Andy. It's maybe time for the last question. And this is a really special question, and I know this, so
I'm excited.
Looking forward to your answer.
If Gali can answer it correctly.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no pressure on you.
It's really serious. Okay, so if you must change something which happened in your life, what would it be? What
probably
mistake
not get caught
did you
in
do?
An avalanche.
Okay.
Easy question. B.
Okay. Boring.
No.
Not the meta level.
Yeah. If it's something other than that, like maybe a life choice earlier on. That's really
not
good.
That easy anymore.
Maybe you're still too young.
Probably would have studied the stock market instead of started working at McDonald's. Could have bought a couple bikes.
Okay, fair point.
Invest in gold.
Yes. Okay, or in bitcoins. You should have maybe investing in bitcoins. You know? Or in bikes. Or bitcoins? Ah, not a question.
Or the NFTs. All the kids are talking about them now.
That's right. Okay, but thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, guys. It
was really cool to have this live podcast option. Of course, it's something new for us as well. And I really enjoyed talking to you guys, to be honest. You're still legends and wearing the legend, as nobody wants to have the legend anymore. So I'm out and thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Lena. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you very much for your time. Great meeting you again.
Likewise. It's been a minute, my friend. And thank you, everybody who's been hanging out and listening to us babble on for some time. It's been good stuff. Hope you got your free beer. I heard there's free beer.
I hope it's something left. They hope they left something for us.
I know a beer better.
So whenever you out there want to listen to this podcast as well, of course you can anytime. I think every second week there will be a new episode over the next month. And we have quite interesting guests out there. So after you now, we just recorded this week a podcast with Lukas Knopf. I think somebody might know him, some guys might know him. And there's at the moment there are quite a lot of bike content out there in the podcast player of your trust. So thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Very much. Bye bye.